facing fear while walking in faith. One of the things that we have to be willing to hear and accept is that this virus only has the ability to produce fear if you allow it to produce fear. If you give in to fear. When we think about the emotional and psychological effects of fear and anxiety, now listen to this. Fear is an emotion induced by perceived danger or threat, which causes physiological changes and ultimately behavior changes, such as fleeing, hiding, freezing from perceived traumatic events. Fear in human beings may occur in response to certain stimulus occurring in the present or in anticipation or expectation of a future threat perceived as a risk to oneself. Now that's what we're dealing with. That's what we're navigating through. Fear is closely related to the emotion anxiety, which occurs as the result of threats that are perceived to be uncontrollable or unavoidable. And so right now, there's answers coming, but the answers are not coming fast enough. Information is being given, but no real answers to the information that we're getting is causing folks to have fear. Now, as for the believer, I want to tell you that you have to be willing to balance the information with this information. You have to be willing to or able to balance the information that comes to us, not be afraid of that information, but you balance that information with the Word of God. You balance that information with the reality of living in an unshakable kingdom. See, what this is doing for many is it's just revealing where you really live. Because we can praise God all day long, we can shout and we can make proclamations and declarations, but when things happen in your life, then you really get tested around what you really believe. And so for me, there's certain people, even family members, that I choose not to talk to in challenging times. And I've disciplined myself to do that because, Sheila, I've learned not to allow people to draw me into their emotional response. And I want to say to you, you cannot allow people, you can't not allow the atmosphere to draw you in to an emotional response. If you're running out buying toilet paper, stop it. If you got more hand sanitizer than you can use in 20 years, stop it. Bring it to the church so we can use it up in here and help some people. Are you listening to me? The fear response serves survival by engendering appropriate behavioral responses. That's good. But listen to this. Sociological and organizational research also suggests that individuals' fears are not solely dependent on their nature, but are also shaped by their social relations and their culture, which guide their understanding of when and how to fear, how much fear to feel. Think about that for a moment. Now, let me try to give you a couple examples in that. So if you were one that grew up in the inner city, if you were one that grew up in the hood, if you were one that grew up in the ghetto, I'm just using terms that I think we can all kind of, okay? And you were used to an environment where you heard gunshots all the time. You can be in another environment and you hear a gunshot and you just keep right on going. But someone else who grew up in another location, not as challenging as one of those locations, when they hear it, oh my God, what was that? You're like, oh, that was a gunshot. Don't worry about it. Did it hit you? Okay, come on, let's go. There are people who live all their lives dealing with the reality that any day they could be exposed to a virus, exposed to some chemical agent, and they're living their lives in faith out of that place. So they've learned to face the fear while walking in faith. It is much like the you ever see one of those movies where there's a crowd of people, but not everybody recognizes what's taking place. And all of a sudden, one person has an expression or an action that causes everybody else to know they know something we don't know. And out of that, they begin to respond as well. That chain reaction, fear. They just start running. Now, the other person right here, they start running, but they don't even know what they're running for. They just know this person started running. Maybe I should be running too. It's kind of like the joke where the guy is out in the woods with his friend. And he starts running. He's running past him. He says, "Hey, where are you going?" He said, "Man, I'm trying to outrun this bear." He said, "Man, you can't outrun a bear." He said, "I know, I just need to outrun you." And I've shared this example before. In the movie After Earth, which is Will Smith and his son, they've landed on this planet. When they land on this planet, he makes this statement to his son. He says, "Do you know where you are?" He says, "No." He says, "You are on planet Earth." He says, "But here's what I need you to know. Everything on this planet has evolved to kill man. Everything on this planet has evolved to kill man." Now you need to hear this. Everything on this planet has evolved to kill you. I'm going to say it again. From the moment that Adam had to leave the garden, everything changed. Once sin entered into the world, now we contend with sin. And everything in this environment has evolved to kill you, to kill your spirit man, to kill your relationship with God, to kill you physically. And so don't think it's strange that now there is this seemingly overwhelming onslaught, because everything in the world, everything in earth has evolved to kill, to steal, kill, and to destroy. But in the movie, when he tells his son, "Now the only way we're going to get off this planet is you're going to have to go find the wreckage and get the beacon off of it." And he says, "It's miles away. You're going to have to go on a journey." And he says this to his son. He says this, "Make no mistake. The danger is real. Fear is a choice." The danger is real. Fear is a choice. That's why, now I'm going to the scriptures now. 2 Timothy 1, 2 through 7, it says this to Timothy, "My beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God who I serve with clear conscience the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers night and day, longing to see you. Even as I recall your tears, so that I may be filled with joy. It says, for I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. For I am sure that it is in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to to stir up afresh the gift of God which was put in you by the laying on of hands. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. And then he says this, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, of power, love, and a sound mind. Paul would not write that to Timothy if Timothy had no choice. And what I want to say to all of us, as we are walking this out and we are doing all that we know to do, I'm talking about the practical things. When they say you need to distance yourself, you need to do that from certain people. But you don't want to do it out of fear. You want to do it out of knowledge and out of faith. And so I am encouraged by all of you that are here today, because you didn't have to come. Some of you don't, well, not mine. I don't get the chance to see some of y'all very often anyway, but I'm glad you're here. All right, Shayla. Was I looking at you when I said that? I'm sorry. Was I looking at you? She's like, amen. I wasn't talking to you, really. Over and over and over and over in the scriptures, you'll see it over 300 sometimes. It says, fear not, fear not, fear not, fear not. Sometimes it's the angels, sometimes it's God coming to the people. Fear not, fear not, fear not. It means, if he's saying fear not, it means you can not fear. But what it's going to take is you and I learning to live in a disciplined place and a very intentional place of the reality of the kingdom of God. How many of you are born again? Let me see. How many are born again? Great. You can put your hands down. Now, here's the deal. If you're born again, you're in the kingdom of God. If you're born again, you're in the kingdom of God. Now, you make the decision. The responsibility is on you how you live out your life in the kingdom. The responsibility is on you, my brothers. I saw most of you raise your hand. You said you're born again. The responsibility is going to be on you, how you live out your life in the kingdom. Going to heaven, that's a good thing. But what is it that God's put in you? What is it that God's put in me, put in us, that we should be accomplishing here on earth? I'm going to tell you one of the things right now in this season is he needs his body to stand up and to walk in faith and be the example that in the midst of challenging times, there is hope. There is hope. And it doesn't mean that you and I are walking around and we're spouting all these scriptures and things. It just means that it can be the peace of God. Jesus said, my peace I leave with you. Not peace as the world gives, but my peace. And he says, you got to understand something. You're going to have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And you also have to recognize this, that there is not one thing that's happening right now that's not already written in the Bible. You just have to read your Bible. Because once you have read it, then you recognize that you and I have a heads up. God's already told us. And because he has, you and I should be able to walk in a place of peace that when others are saying, you reading the news, aren't you? You're seeing what they're saying. I mean, what are you thinking? Well, I think God is in charge. That's what I think. And I think that no matter what it's looking like, he's got this. 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 Fear is an emotion induced by perceived danger or threat, which causes the physiological changes and ultimate behavior changes, such as fleeing, hiding, or freezing from a perceived traumatic event. Fear in human beings may occur in response to a certain stimulus occurring in the present or in anticipation or expectation of a future threat perceived as a risk to oneself. Now, I wanted to read that again because I want to now show you a couple of scenarios, a couple of examples here in the Word of that, how the leader handled it, how the people handled it, how God handled it. All right. And so these are a couple of familiar passages of scripture, but I'm talking about facing fear while walking in faith. Going back to Exodus with Moses, Moses works all the miracles God calls him to work, and then he delivers them. In the midst of it, though, listen to this, in the midst of all the plagues, God continually took care of his people. As a matter of fact, just for your own reading, when you get a chance, go to Exodus chapter 8, read 20 through 24. What you'll find there is that when God speaks to Moses now and says, you need to go tell Pharaoh that I'm going to send a plague of flies. And then he says this, he says, but I'm letting you know that where my people are down in Goshen, they won't be there. As a matter of fact, when you read, it talks about the plague of darkness that came. It says, it was dark everywhere except in Goshen. My God, can you, I mean, how does God do that? How does God make it dark everywhere else except in the place where his people is? It's not like they were walled in so they could turn lights on. But we're talking about the sovereign God. Say sovereign God. And so, in facing their fear, or the opportunity to face their fear, it's in Exodus 14. Now, they've come out of Egypt. God dealt with finality with Pharaoh. And this is our sovereign God. Listen to me. Don't miss this moment of your opportunity, our opportunity, to bring the kingdom response to this situation. See, this isn't just about somebody come up with a cure and we move on. No, there's going to be a couple more things this year that hit. I don't know if you remember on New Year's Eve, I said three things were going to happen. Three significant events were going to happen this year. This is number one. Go back to New Year's Eve, listen to it towards the end of it. I was through with my message. I just started speaking prophetically. I started to hear God say, three things are going to happen this year. Three things. I said, you can't think the city. You can't think the state. You can't think the nation. You got to think globally. That's what I said. And here we are with a global pandemic. So they say. Exodus 14 verse 10, it says, and Pharaoh drew near, the sons of Israel looked, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they became very frightened. They were emotionally distressed, thinking we are about to be destroyed. So the sons of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, Moses, is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us in this way, bringing us out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we spoke to you in Egypt, saying, leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, for it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. What are they doing? They're speaking out of fear. They're responding and reacting out of fear. And Moses says to them, do not fear. Do not fear. I'm saying to you, do not fear. Moses goes on and says this, stand by, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. I'm sharing this prophetically. I'm telling you now that God is going to do something in the midst of this that points people to him.
Amen. Hallelujah.
God's going to do something in the midst of this, and we will have our opportunity. When God gave us this property, we called it the embassy. It's a kingdom embassy. I'll just say this for us. If there's any place you ought to be able to come to and find God and the healing power of God and the delivering power of God and salvation, it ought to be right here at the embassy. If you can get on the grounds, we can help you. Just like any U.S. embassy out in some foreign land, if you're a United States citizen and you're out there and you get in trouble, all you got to do is get to the embassy. And all you have to do is get on the other side of that gate. Because once you get on the other side of that gate, the ground is sovereign. I need somebody just to really clap like they're really tracking with me right now. Come on, I need y'all to stay with me here. This may not be for you, but it may be for somebody you know. He speaks prophetically to them and says, stand still, you're going to see the salvation of the Lord. He will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see them again forever. Amen. The Lord will fight for you and you will keep silent. Then Moses said, no, God said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Now get that. So somewhere in it, the people now have Moses crying out to God. And God is saying, why are you crying out to me? He says, tell the sons of Israel, go forward. All right. What is he saying? Tell them, move forward in faith. Move forward in faith. He's saying, tell them, take courage and move forward. The attitude of facing and dealing with anything perceived as dangerous, difficult, painful, or different instead of withdrawing from it. This is not the time to draw back, saints. This is not the time to draw back, church. This is the time to step up, step into it in wisdom and in faith. Whatever your part is, whether it's on your job, whether it's in your home, whether it's in your community, you and I have the opportunity to speak to still silence the fear in others and help them recognize I'm not afraid because I'm part of an unshakable kingdom. And then what God does is this. He says to Moses, he says, as for you, lift up your staff and stretch it out, stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the sons of Israel shall go forth in the midst of the sea on dry ground. Whose responsibility was that? It was Moses' responsibility. I believe that God's going to begin to speak to many of you. He's going to say, as for you, this is what I'm telling you to do. But what I love about this passage is he not only just says, as for you, then he says, as for me. He says, as for me, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so they will go in after them. I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so they will go in after them, and I will be honored through Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. He says, I will harden their hearts so they will go in after them. He's saying, I'm going to cause them to lose their common sense. I'm going to cause them to lose all common sense, and they're going to come after you. He says, and once they come after you, I'm going to destroy them all. See, that's the fulfillment of the word that Moses said, when the Egyptians you see today, you'll never see them again. But in the midst of facing their fear, they needed to walk in faith. They needed to move forward in faith. And just like this scenario, as we see something that seems to be so overwhelming, God is saying to us, face it and move forward in faith. Face it and move forward in faith. The second example that we've been looking at recently is found in 2 Chronicles 20, chapter 20. It says this at verse 14. Matter of fact, verse 3. It says, Jehoshaphat was afraid and turned his attention to seek the Lord. His response to fear was he turned his attention to the Lord. Your response, if you're dealing with fear, is to turn your attention to God. Turn your attention to the scriptures. That's why for many of you in our house, I sent out to you a scriptural piece, a recorded reading piece. How many of y'all got that? Could y'all hear? Did y'all listen to it? How many of y'all listened to it? I don't know just that you got it, but that you listened to it. Great. Great. And I want to encourage you to keep listening to it. As a matter of fact, we just uploaded it. It'll be on iTunes here shortly to get it out to the body of Christ. What's it called? I think I entitled it Words of Comfort, Words of Comfort, Peace, and Hope. Yeah, that's what it's titled. So you'll see it out there soon. Find it on YouTube. But we know the story of Jehoshaphat. With Jehoshaphat, a similar situation. Now, they're faced with these three armies coming against them. But in the midst of it, they're dealing with their fear. And that's why word comes to them and says, listen, all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord, do not fear or be dismayed. Do not fear or be dismayed. Now, it's not for you and I to be ignorant to the situation, but don't be driven by fear. We are people of faith. He says, because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. Behold, they will come up at the ascent of Ziz. It says, and you will find them at the end of the valley in front of the wilderness of Jeruel. You need not fight in this battle. Station yourselves. Stand and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out to face them. Go out to face them. You got to face the fear while walking in faith. Face the fear while walking in faith. When you do that in small things, it builds your faith for the larger things. So any of you that's had any kind of health challenge, that you've had to fight fear, but you keep walking in faith, that's building your faith. And it's a part of the dynamic, hear me now, of every believer while we live here. You and I will continually have to navigate through facing the fear while walking in faith. But victory in God is assured. Victory in God is assured. Lastly, we are part of an unshakable kingdom. We are part of an unshakable kingdom. In Hebrews 12, verse 25, it says this, see to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if those did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, says much less will we escape who turn away from him who warns from heaven. And his voice shook the earth then, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. This expression, yet once more, denotes the removing of those things which can be shaken as created things, so that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. We are part of an unshakable kingdom. Come on, say, I am part of an unshakable kingdom. Come on, say, I am part of the unshakable kingdom. Say it again, I am part of the unshakable kingdom. Glory, 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 glory. Face the fear while walking in faith.